We're going to, for the next probably 4 weeks, be talking about rejection. We're going to be talking about the power of rejection. We're going to be talking about how to overcome rejection, the purpose of the enemy in rejection. And one of the number one things I think we all need to realize is everybody faces rejection. Every person at some time in your life, you're going to face rejection. And most people face rejection on a daily basis. But what I want us to learn how to do is, what are we going to do with our rejection? What are we going to do when rejection comes and knocks on our door? Because without even knowing we have a choice, we have a choice. Without even making a decision of how to handle it, we're going to make a decision how to handle it. And when it comes, I want you to be prepared in what to do with it. So that when rejection comes and knocks on your door, you can turn it away. And you can decide not to let it in. But I do believe that's a process. I think that's something that God is going to teach us how to walk in. So we're going to be speaking about rejection. One thing I have found about rejection is everybody suffers it. Everybody, just by raising your hand, have you ever been rejected? Yes. Rich people, old people, young people, poor people, every person I've ever met has their own story of rejection. Some of the wealthiest people in life feel the most rejected. Do you know that? Some of the most impoverished people in life feel the most rejected. Rejected does not just choose you because of a certain reason. There is a spirit of rejection, which mom has real. There's a spirit of rejection, I will tell you, that will, if you allow it, torment you your entire life. It's the enemy. And he will target you with that if he finds a heart that will let it in. If you will allow rejection in, it will continue for your entire life to torment you. But just because you face rejection should not be odd to you. Just because you face rejection, that should not be rare to you. Because even though every person in this world faces rejection, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was the most rejected man on earth. So what that means is Jesus faced rejection more than anybody else ever has. So as many times as rejection comes into your life, it doesn't qualify you as being someone who is down, as someone who is weak. What that means is the enemy is trying to defeat you through the spirit of rejection. And everywhere that Jesus walked into, almost every person he came in contact with that would allow that spirit of rejection to operate through them and attack Jesus, it would. It would. But would you say that Jesus had a spirit of rejection? No. No. So I want to clarify this in the church. I do, because this is one thing I have seen a wrong appearance in the church worldwide. Have this idea that when someone comes and they reject you, they talk harsh to you, they ridicule you, they speak to you in a way. But because what I believe that God has shown me that rejection is a lie that denies your worth or your value. Rejection comes and it denies that you have any worth or any value to me. Now, the Bible tells us that we all need each other, right? The arm needs the leg needs the arm, the belly button, all of it. We all have our unique part. And when we truly walk in the love of God, we see the value in every person around us. There is value in every person you come in contact with. There's a purpose for them. And we as Christians, what we should do is we should feed that value. We should speak life into that value. We should speak acceptance into each other. We should speak life into each other. We should build each other up. That's right. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did. But when rejection comes, it tells you you have no worth and you have no value. It can be in any situation. It can be in any person. It can be in anything. But we need to identify, number one, first of all, that the rejecter is the devil. The enemy in this whole ball game is the devil. And he is the one who is really your enemy. You're going to meet people every day that operate in the spirit of rejection. Because they have been rejected. And so people will come to you and they will be cruel and they will be mean. I've seen that done in a whole lot of churches where they will say something cruel and then when it hurts you, like it should. When someone says something mean to you, and if they mean something to you, it hurts you. And they will turn around, and we have used this term, oh, well, you suffer from a spirit of rejection because that hurt you. I just want to take it, I want to lift it up, and I want to flip it all the way around. What I want us to do is teach rejection how to bow at the feet of Jesus. And when it comes to us, when someone comes and devalues us, or speak words that are lies of the enemy, that are not what our worth is, what are not what our value is, we can, in our spirit, tell ourselves, that's not true. Oh, that's not true. And we can recognize the spirit of rejection instantly because we know our value in Christ. Amen. Our value in Christ. So that's where we're going. In the next 4 weeks, I'm going to break down all the different ways that rejection comes to us. It comes to us through many different ways. And then I want to talk to us about how we overcome rejection. But tonight, I want to start at the very beginning. I want to start with talking about the answer to rejection. Because we can talk about the problem all day long, but if we don't talk about the answer, then we're not really making anything better, right? And I like to focus on Jesus, and then we'll work on all the other stuff that the enemy does. But I want to tonight, what I want to do is, I want to focus on where the answer is, because if we can find out where the answer is, all of those problems that we're about to start bringing up from our past, and all those things that we're about to start dealing with in relationships, when they come up, we know where to focus them to. Does that make sense? When they come up, we know where to focus to. Jesus talked about the answer almost every time he spoke. That's what Jesus always gave, was the answer. So we're going to talk about rejection because I think it is so important for us to understand the way that we receive it, what our job is, how we keep it out at the gate. Let me tell you something. If someone is rejecting you, what that means is that in that part of their life, God does not rule. That means that that is not a place in their life where God lives. That is not a place in their life where God has authority. That means that the enemy has authority if they're allowing themselves to reject you in that area. Now, we're going to talk about roots of rejection because we have a choice once we're rejected to allow it in, to allow it to hurt us, to allow it to dig roots. And then our whole entire life we live feeling defeated, feeling beat down, feeling insecure, feeling hurt, feeling all those things that rejection's purpose is. Or we flip to the other side. We become a rejecter. We become hard-hearted. We become bitter. And without even knowing it, we learn to reject people instantly before they reject us. And then we learn to turn around and just reject people because the spirit of rejection has found a home inside of our hearts. And we are allowing ourselves to be moved by the spirit of rejection. So it's real important that we are aware of that spirit. And it's real important that we understand how that spirit operates. But I don't want to take tonight to focus on that. Because I'm going to talk tonight about the answer of rejection. Jesus was rejected more than any man. And it says in Isaiah 53:3, and this is talking about Jesus. This was what was prophesied over Jesus. It says, he was despised and he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is what I think rejection makes us feel like. I think that when we're rejected, we feel sorrow. And we feel grief. Why do we feel that way? Because let me tell you something. We were made with purpose. We were made with destiny. We were not made to live in a rejected world. Do you understand that? We were made to live with a God-given purpose and gifts and callings. We were not made to be oppressed or repressed. We were made to express our lives to God. And so when you are rejected, you feel that way. When you are rejected, you feel sorrow. You feel grief. You feel despised. You feel like you're not being esteemed. How many of you would agree with that? You feel that way. Why? Because that person has told you, you don't have worth and you don't have value. Jesus suffered that very spirit every time he walked into somewhere. Jesus suffered those very things that rejection has caused us to feel in our life. But one thing I know is, Jesus overcame it. Jesus overcame it. Jesus became the most rejected man who never rejected, who never turned back and allowed that pain or that sorrow to make him be a rejecter. Jesus was able to have compassion on people when they didn't even deserve compassion in my eyes. Because Jesus learned how to find what God said about him as his true voice of identity and purpose and value. What we think about ourselves matters. And I talk about that all the time. You know, what we believe about ourselves, it has great importance. What we hear from God about us really matters. David, you know, the entire scriptures of David was written where David would say things like, God, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. You wrought me, and my soul knows this well. My frame was not hidden from you. David was constantly talking about the way that God had made him. And if you didn't know David's story, you might think David fought pride a little bit. Because if I said I am wonderfully made, that might sound a little bit prideful to you. But the truth is that David had walked through such rejection in his life from early on, and every area David's life he walked into, he had to overcome and he had to battle and he had to defeat that spirit of rejection the same way Jesus did. That spirit of rejection tried to quench the spirit in David to keep David from becoming everything God had called him to be. But the same is for you. That spirit of rejection is so afraid of what you were made for, what God did create you for, that it wants to quench that spirit inside of you before you even get a chance to allow it to be expressed to the world. So these are where we find all these scriptures and Psalms, is that through rejection, David found a place with God where what God said about him built him up. But what David really found was a place with God to where he knew things about God that nobody else at that time knew about God. How many of you would agree with that? David tapped into secret keys of heaven that had not yet been revealed to man on earth. How many of you would agree with that? David found this place in God that opened up heaven for him before it had ever came to earth. Let me tell you, God's desire is for that for each one of us. God's desire is whatever rejection brings to you, whatever places it tries to oppress you, whatever it tries to squeeze you, God's desire is for you to be able to press into God in such a way that you know something about God greater than your former generation. That you know a heaven, because let me tell you, we change, the world changes, God never changes. And there is so much truth and revelation in who God is that is yet to be manifested to the earth. Do you know that? To His people. And if we can allow rejection, when it comes to us to crush us, to press us into a place of God, to where we open up our ears a little bit more, to where we open up our heart a little bit more, to where we refuse to allow in what's being said to us, God will begin to declare who He is to each one of us individually. And what that will do is, that will create who I am called to be in this earth. I want to show you this in Scripture so you can understand this is the way Jesus worked when He walked on earth. Okay? If everybody will turn to Matthew 15:21. And what we see is there is a confrontation that Jesus has with the woman. And this happened to Jesus all the time. But this time, it was different. Now, Jesus had just came out of a confrontation with Pharisees. And they had just, like they do every time he's around them, they had just accused him, and they had just tried to intimidate him, and they had just rejected him, like they did every time the presence of God walked in front of their face. They were the voice of the enemy. And they didn't even know it. They had no clue. So, Jesus had just walked out of that, and what he was explaining in that was what was about to be manifested around the next corner for this lady. All right, in Matthew 15:21, it says, Jesus went out from there being all of that mess, okay, and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And I just want us to stop and put ourselves in that position to quite understand what that all would entail. All right, number one, she's not the royal. She's not the holy priesthood. She's not an Israelite. Everybody understand that? So just by her birth, she's rejected by God. Just by her birth, she's told all the time, every day probably, God loves me, God does not love you. God chose me, God did not choose you. We a lot of times have to get that under the cover, but in that day they got it straight up front. They were operating out of the spirit of rejection. And they loved it, and it empowered them. And people that operate out of that spirit of rejection a lot of time will feel empowered by that. So she was in a place where it looked like to everybody else, and it was. She was not the holy generation. So rejection would have been something that she had faced since birth. She had probably come to terms with it. I'm not, that's okay. But then something happened. She had a daughter. And her daughter was demon-possessed. And I'm going to tell you, your children will push you to a place with God that you might not go on your own. Your children will push you to a truth and a level and an intimacy with God that you might not just make it on your own. And she had a daughter that was demon-possessed. So I just imagining that time, now my kids can be crazy. My kids can be wild. But if I had, and I question it, time, God, please. I want to cast out demons out of them sometimes, I do. And just the situation of having a daughter in that state. How many times had she been rejected from family events? Not just because of what her race is, but within her own family. How many times have people come and say, you know what, we love you, but you and your daughter, I don't really think that it's appropriate for you to be here. Or how many times do you think that people would walk by and look at her and make ugly comments because of the position that the enemy had put her in? How many times do you think that she daily faced rejection because of the situation and the circumstances that were out of her control? I'm going to tell you, each and every one of you, you're going to face rejection. You might as well get used to it. But why face it defeated? Why face it and accept it? Because there's a better way. If you will allow this to move you to the place that this woman did. All right, so we can agree that daily she probably faced rejection. Socially, regionally, emotionally, her daughter. I'm sure she had to look at her daughter and she had to see in her daughter what her daughter's future was like. I'm sure she had to see in her daughter, you know what, her entire life is going to be cast aside, told she's worthless, told she's nothing. And I'm going to tell you, to that moment, it was not okay. That desire pushed her to be the one woman that met God and met the supernatural. So let's go on, let's read it. It says, but this is what she was doing. She was crying out saying, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Hush her up. Make her be quiet. And then Jesus turned around and he said this, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, how many of you have read that scripture and you just go, oh, Jesus, you messed up that time? I mean, that sounds not good. That sounds like rejection. And I'm sure to that lady, if she would have received what it sounded like to everybody else, it would have sounded like rejection. But let me tell you what Jesus had just been explaining to his disciples. Okay? If you just go over a few verses, Jesus was saying this. He was saying, see, these people over here, they all draw near to me with their mouths. And they honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. So he said, he called his multitude to him and he told them this. He said, hear and understand. God was calling his disciples to continuously to have ears that heard what the Spirit was saying. To have eyes that could see what the Spirit was doing. There is a way of seeing situations in our life completely different than what they look like. Because to everybody else, even to me, time and time again, I would read that scripture and I would say, that looks bad. But let me tell you what Jesus was doing. He was allowing her to press in. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been in situations where I have been deeply rejected. And I have said, God, why did you let that happen? Why did you let that be said? Why did that? And let me tell you, God allowed that because he understood what it was going to take for me to press in to him. To press in to that next generation, to that next open heaven that God has specifically for me. That God has specifically for you. Let me tell you, at that time, that was not her birthright. You agree with that? At that time, she was not considered chosen. But it says when Jesus said that, that she came and she worshiped him. I'm going to tell you what everybody else might have heard was rejection. But do you know what she heard? She heard, worship me because I'm your king. She heard a calling in the Spirit for her eyes to be open because she knew that the Spirit was calling her into something deeper that would cause something in her family that she couldn't do. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get eyes, I believe, this year where you can see what the Spirit is saying and you can reject what it looks like, you can reject what it sounds like, because it's going to look and sound a whole lot like rejection. But that's not what God is saying to you. That's not what the Spirit is saying. So then it goes on and she says she worshiped him. And he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay? This is what Jesus said to her. But I want you to understand what she heard. Because she turned around and she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dog eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Whose master? Their master. Whose master? Her master. Do you understand that she was fine God seeing her as a dog? She was fine everybody else in that world seeing her as a dog. Because it didn't matter what they saw her as. What came out of that encounter with Jesus is how she saw her master. She had moved in one encounter with Jesus from being the one that was never going to be chosen, not the holy generation, to being the one that could stand in the face of Jesus and say, you're my master. You're my king. You're my savior. Her cry opened up a supernatural heaven that had not been yet released on earth. Do you understand that? What did Jesus come to call all men unto him, right? He came to gather all men. Jesus came to take down those barriers, to take down that religion, to take down that family, that whole generation that had moved to a place of deception and rejection. Jesus came to break all of that apart, but because out of her heart, she found that place with God, he opened up for something that was only for her. And do you know what God did? When he saw what she was hearing and what she was seeing and what she was speaking and what she was doing. When God saw what she was doing, this is what he said. O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you, not as I desire, not as they desire, but as you desire. I'm going to tell you, when you get to a place where God will let your desires, God trusts you. God trusts you. What that lady chose to do in that situation was let who God was be more important than who she was. And what we step into when we let who God is be more important than who we are. Who God is who we are. We're His. We're His. We step into a step. We are not even quite sure that we understand what we're stepping into. We step into, well, if that is true about you, well, I'm your son and I'm your daughter. And what that means is that that's what you want to do for me. I'm going to tell you, I went through a year this year that I didn't quite understand. I mean, I faced rejection on every side I could possibly face it on. To where at the very end of it, I was literally, I feel like this lady, it was my last hope. I was like, God, either I'm doing everything wrong, or I'm going to defeat the spirit of rejection. And it's going to bow to the name of Jesus that lives inside of me. It's going to bow to the name of Jesus that every time it opens up its mouth and it tries to lie, I'm going to say, that's not what I am, because that's not what Jesus is. That kind of faith comes from standing in the face of rejection and hearing God. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. When you stand in face-to-face combat with that spirit of rejection and you don't let it run away and you don't say, oh, it's me, and you don't dismiss it and you don't just say, oh, they know better. If you stand face-to-face with that spirit of rejection and you say, you shall not declare that over me. And you turn it right back around at the gate and you allow that to be something that pushes you to a place to know something about God that you obviously never knew before. How many of you agree there are so many facets of God that we all will be in a continual growth to understand and grow, right? If you, I love the story about the talents. How many of you remember the story in the Bible about the talents, right? God gave one man five and one man two and one man one. And each one that he gave a talent to, he set the same whole scenario up, right? So Jesus told this parable about this. And in that parable, Jesus came, and it says a master came and he gave one man five talents. And then he gave another man two talents. And then he gave another man one talent. Jesus said when the master came back, I'm going to find it right here so I don't misquote it. Jesus said when the master came back, he came to each man to find out what they had done. And I'm going to tell you, and that scripture, yes, I think it has so many different facets because that's how God works, right? It has to do with prospering. It has to do with using what God has given you. It has to do with all those things. But one thing about that story that does not change is the man that had the one talent and the reason he did not do something with it. It says in Matthew 25:14, it says, he came to the man with five talents, and the man with five talents had doubled his talents. He had used them wisely, and the Lord said, you delivered to me five talents, and I have gained five more talents. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into your joy of the Lord. And this same encounter happened with the man that God had given, that this master had given two talents. But when he came to the man, he had given one talent. And I believe the reason that the master gave him one talent is he knew things about this servant. And he was trying to get this servant to move to a place in him, to trust him. And I believe a lot of us are there. I believe God knows things about us, and he's trying to always get us to move to a place to trust him. So he gave him one. And he said, when he had received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew you. I want us to just stop and recognize this reason that this man did not do or experience or try or believe was because he knew his master to be a hard man. Reaping where he had not sown, gathering where he had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there is what is yours. Now, I think without a doubt God's given us all talents. But I'm going to tell you, the truth is God has given every one of you value right here. Each one of you have a purpose that God is just crying out that you will allow him to open up heaven and reveal himself to you. But so many times in my life, I'm going to tell you, because I don't believe the right things about God, I don't believe the right things about myself. And it hinders me. It hinders me from ever moving into that place that God wants me to move into. Because the truth is, God is good. The truth is, God is faithful. The truth is that God loves you. That you are protected on every side. Let me tell you the truth about this servant's master was that he was a good master. He was a rewarder. That he was faithful. That he was not evil. But this servant, I don't know if it was because he had met masters before that had treated him this way, and that he had learned things about himself, or he had learned things about life, but I'm going to tell you, it was not true about this master. There are things in your life, regardless if you know it or not, that you have yet to tap into that are true about God. That little Canaanite woman. There's a million reasons, a million documented reasons that should have told her, and she should have believed that she could not have been called one of the kings. That's the truth. There's a million reasons she should never have been able to call Jesus her master. And that's the truth. But because she had ears that would hear, and because she let herself get pressed, and when she got pressed, and when she got pressed, and when she got pressed to a point that she said, all right, no more devil, no more. I'm going to allow God to open up my eyes and to reveal something to me because I was made for a purpose. I'm going to tell you, every person that has ever been made was created by God. Do you know that? Every person that was ever made was created with value, was created with destiny. And the only person that's holding you back from that is you. Because a lot of times in my life, I have to make a choice to not be a person like the servant with talents that says, God, I know that you did that for them, and I know that you did that for them, but God, me? Let me tell you, God wants you to tap into things in your life, I believe this year, that the enemy has tried to tell you were not true your whole life. I have a true belief. This is a belief that I believe. I believe exactly what the enemy says is truth. I mean, exactly the opposite of what the enemy says is truth. Because he can't tell the truth. Do you know that? So you can usually take what is coming to you as rejection, and you can say, all right, God, what's the opposite of that? And the very opposite of that is truth. That's the way the enemy works. He takes what is true about God and he reverses it. And then he uses it on us to keep us from being able to step out as being someone with 5 talents to 10 talents, with 10 talents to 20 talents, from 20 talents to 30 talents. God wants for you to be able to dominate the enemy's kingdom. But the first thing that you ever have to do is you have to learn things about God that are unique to you. You've got to learn things about God that God created you to know. And do you know where you'll find all of them, right? Every one of them are in here. Every one of them are in here. But what God will reveal to you, God might not ever reveal to me. And there is a revelation that needs to come out of your life that the world needs to experience. It needs to see. From that day on, I can promise you, those disciples' eyes were opened. What Jesus was trying to teach them, they got to see in the flesh that there was right here a woman that should not have been called the favorite of God, that was the favored of God. And that is the same in every area of your life. So I want each one of you, if you just will for a second, just close your eyes. And I want you to just ask God this simple question. I want you to say, Father, forgive me for not trusting you. And show me this week areas of my life where what I believe about you hinders me from being who you called me to be. Father, I declare that I'm going to come out of rejection. That there's not going to be one root left in me. That I'm going to learn to step on the head of the enemy and crush his mouth when he speaks lies to me or he tries to speak lies through me. Jesus, I pray right now that you will give every person in this room ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying to them. Father, I pray right now that as they go throughout their day and as they go throughout their week, they are able to see rejection before it has a chance to penetrate their heart. Father, I thank you that as they draw close to you and as they see you for as you truly are, that it will give them the faith that they need to step out. That it will give them the faith that they need to move into all that you have called them to move into. Lord, I thank you of every person that's in here that it's going to be said of them, they had great faith. And that they desire, you want to give them. Because you can trust them. You can trust them. You can trust them, God, to let your words, to let your truth be what they stand on. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you that the power of the spirit of rejection is being broken in the church. I thank you that the power of the spirit of rejection is being broken in our cities. It's being broken in our nation. And we stand up and we declare that it has no power anymore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.